everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Coffer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good and staying a little cooler today. Wow, it's been hot around here.
Yeah, it's not 109 today. They say it's only going to get up into the high 80s, so I'm pleased with it as well. The air conditioner's not working as hard this morning, but here we are, another edition. Got a good lineup of news. We got a best practice stuff going on here at Blueberry. But no Blueberry Pro Tip. Our team is out sick right now. No interview this week, and we do have a question of the week. So I guess we can jump right into the news. Bada bing, Apple tells how podcast search works on the Apple Podcast app. And finally, we can basically...
Well, we already knew all along.
And some of these masterminds who says, oh, you have to have 80 reviews, and you have to have this, and you have to have that. We know now what we already know or knew.
We've been saying it for years that ratings and reviews have nothing to do with the rankings or search on Apple.
So search finds the best possible match, according to Apple, for your search term and presents the most relevant results at the top. Some of, and the key word here is some of the main factors that Apple Podcasts use is metadata. This includes your show name, channel name, and very well-written episode title. And then popularity helps you get higher, and user behavior, podcasts with higher engagement, such as those that are played or followed from search results. So it's interesting that that's a little bit of an interesting revelation here, that they actually use user behavior as well.
Yeah, and it was always the, you know, new subscriptions when they called it subscriptions, but new follows. In the ranking part, but I didn't know that it had anything to do with the search.
Well, they say podcasts with high engagement, such as those that are played or followed from search results. So play is a new factor there. We didn't know that play was a key. And that worries me just a little bit that people are now going to try to have, game the system here by hiring bots to go in and play episodes from search engines, search results.
Could happen, but if you've got content that nobody's interested in, even if you fake the results, what's that going to gain you?
Yeah, and search will only display the channels, shows, and episodes creators have made available in each country or region. Apple Podcasts available in over 170 countries and regions that are enabled, and all are enabled for new shows by default. The key here is what we've always said, and what Apple's always said, or not said, but what they are saying, right, is how to improve your ranking is the more listeners that engage with your new shows and episodes, the higher they will rank for relevant search terms. So make sure to promote your shows and episodes on Apple Podcasts when they launch. And make sure your channel name, show titles, and episode titles are specific and unique so that they may appear in relevant searches. Be distinctive and avoid using names that are too generic or too similar to existing shows. Avoid using emojis and repeated episode titles.
Or you see podcasters that will have an episode title, such and such with whatever guest, and then they have that guest on again later, and the title's exactly the same. And that doesn't help anybody in search. So
right.
Really, and you really want to kind of, especially episode titles, don't get crazy with it, but definitely put some good data in there so people can find you on whatever you're talking about in that episode.
3, 4, 5 words max.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't be a sentence for an episode title. It should be what someone would search for on Google, or on Apple to find that episode. And here's the thing, search for your episodes on Apple Podcasts and see where you fall, see how your episode titles are doing, or, look at, if you were looking for an interview with a specific person, search that name. And if you've had that person on your show, see if that name shows up and you see if you're in the results. or what you need to improve that. Sometimes you may need to go just a little deeper.
Right. And you know, this isn't just for Apple. It counts for Google search.
Everything.
Bing search and, you know, any other place that is searched. That, you know, the more descriptive your titles are without being spammy, the better.
I like this, that they are now, you know, all this stuff we've known for years and years, literally years and years. And yet, this is the first time they publicly announced it, and all this time. So it's a pretty big deal. But anyway, awesome. All right, let's move on. Three lessons on audio marketing. And this is an article over in Forbes. And believe it or not, this was from the iHeart CEO. And I was actually surprised. Well, not surprised, but I'm glad he posted this. And I wonder if it was in reaction to Spotify's announcement.
Yeah, that's. I'm kind of thinking that, that's it. But you know, one of the number one item he was talking about is RSS feeds flow economic power back to the publishers and creators, which, you know, in the case of no RSS feed, you know, a locked in vertical, it doesn't happen that way. You know, and I know iHeart has some exclusive stuff too, but
they distribute everywhere,
right?
And those shows are available via RSS as well.
Yes.
So say that again, Mike, what he stated. I think that's key, that statement he made.
Yeah, RSS feeds flow economic power back to the publishers and creators.
That's a good one.
Yeah, definitely. And the number two one down here was subscriptions won't fix a problem that doesn't exist.
Right.
And you know, what they're talking about in subscriptions is like on Apple, where you pay to get to the, pay to get the podcast. Well, you know, most households, and they were talking about in here, 84% don't want to pay for podcasts. They're already, you know, signed up for Netflix and Amazon and Disney and whatever else. They don't want to pay for, you know, podcast content in most cases. I mean, there are some, you know, there's definitely some out there that are worth paying for, but it's not that many people that are going to be interested in that as long as there's as many free options as there is.
What I follow that up with is a great article that came out on InsiderRadio.com talking about podcast listening is growing again.
Yes.
And this is what Reuters said. Reuters reports across the 20 countries, including the United States, where it is confident the term podcasting is now well understood, 34% of the people it surveyed said they had listened to a podcast in the past month. That is a 3-point increase from a year ago, and 12% of those surveyed said podcasts are now one of the ways they access news. Reuters measures 37% of Americans said they listened to a podcast in the past month. Now, this is interesting in a comment that was made in this report. The gains come despite what Reuters says are some worries about the reliability of content. Someone that responded to the survey says, I listen to Joe Rogan a lot, but he's not a reliable news source. He's just some guy with a podcast, a 23-year-old American man who took the survey said. Well, I think Joe Rogan's pretty consistent.
Yeah, he's not a news source. He's a commentator, and that's a different thing. You know, there are news podcasts out there that are quite good and some that are quite not good. So, you know, pick and choose. But it's cool that, you know, that we're, you know, that 34% worldwide have listened to a podcast in the last month. And, you know, I would have thought the U.S. would be higher than that. But, you know, Ireland is up to 46%. Holy crud. So that's great that it's still growing.
Yep. Young people like a range of formats and media from text, video, and audio and are drawn to information that's curated for them, the report says. On top of that, many young people have a wider definition of what news is. Reuters says its qualitative research reveals that younger audiences use a much wider umbrella to decide what fits the definition than older demos. Reuters also says it's not only podcasts are driving audio consumption. It also credits new voice interfaces and devices such as smart speakers, in-car infotainment systems. Smart speakers now reach 13% Americans. It says, but news numbers are so far disappointing. Just a 4% of those surveyed listen to news on the device. Mm. Well, news, now that's news. That's not podcast.
Right.
But it is interesting here that they're saying that they're listening to news on devices. Now, podcast consumption of those devices is very, very narrow. But also, they said, compared to a year ago, finds slightly less optimistic picture for the news industry. The survey data shows interest in news has fallen sharply from 63% in 2017, 51% in 2022. Meanwhile, the portion of new consumers say they would avoid news often or sometimes increase sharply across the globe. The U.S. data shows that 15% have disconnected, and less than half the Americans in the samples, 47%, say they're very or extremely interested in news compared with 67% in 2015. So basically, people are, and of course, Reuters is a news group. Yep. So talking about news.
Yeah, you know, I find that, you know, I don't watch any news on television. I rarely listen to any news other than I do have a couple of podcasts that I listen to that are, you know, little short news things. And then, you know, the rest of it, I just get online, you know, as I see it fly by. You know, it's not like I'm sitting there, you know, refresh, you know, to get the latest, greatest news. You know, it's a lot of that stuff is irrelevant. And I've always said, like, these 24-hour news channels, you know, from Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, all those things, there's not 24 hours worth of news. So they have to fill with a lot of stuff that is not news and not relevant.
It's entertainment. It's not. Yeah. They want to say infotainment. I don't think some of these are even infotainment anymore, but anyway.
No, it's usually just a bunch of people arguing about stuff.
Yeah. So moving on from that, Spotify to acquire Sonotic. Sonotic is a AI voice platform that they say is going to help improve brand safety for advertising on their platform. But likely related to that was an announcement WordPress said. WordPress.com says you'll be able to create podcast from blog post.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's not opening a can of worms at all,
is
it?
Oh, my God. So you get all the spammers are just going to start creating thousands of anchor accounts and putting up their spam as podcast. Yep, that's going to work really well. They have no idea. This was done before, and we saw thousands of shows that were created that were nothing but an advertisement.
Yeah, machine-generated podcasts that were just spammy.
So Snoop Dogg fans love Martha Stewart on her podcast. Now, this is cute. When I read that, I was like, what?
Yeah, what do you mean? Well, it's a slow news day. Whenever Snoop Dogg shows up in our news.
Snoop Dogg fans love Martha, he says, on her new podcast. So in our founder episode, a friend and colleague, Snoop Dogg, the rapper, reveals that constantly gets asked by fans for an autograph and pictures of Martha. So it must be he's going to be on her first episode.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And, you know, they do a TV show together where they're, you know, cooking. So, you know, it's really kind of an odd couple. But
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do a TV show. It's or they did. I don't know if it's still going. But, it was Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart. And, you know, two complete opposite ends of the spectrum there, I think.
are they cooking edibles or something during their...
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's got a new podcast coming out. I forget what it says. I think it's just called The Martha Show or something like that.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how she does in podcasting. And, she's got Snoop on her side.
Yep. Vacations and road trips are in full swing, and there's lots and lots and lots of articles titled Best Podcast for Car Rides. So,
yeah, McKinsey come up with that one, and, you know, we didn't link to any specific articles, but it might be fun to do that search, you know, to see what's out there. But, it is that time of year, you know, people are going on road trips and whatnot. But, you know, I always find that, you know, when I'm going on a road trip with somebody, listening to a podcast in the car with multiple people is generally not something I do. I don't know, you know, because podcast seems to be a more intimate thing. You know, when I'm alone in the car, I love it. But if I'm with somebody else, you know, either they don't pay attention, you don't pay attention, or it's just noise.
Because, you know, it's not like, I'm sure your wife, Mike, will want to hear about ham radio.
true.
Well, yeah, I'm just joking. She won't, right?
She told me when we got engaged, I said, well, you'll get the marriage license, but you also got to get a ham license. And she still hasn't done it.
Oh, so that's interesting.
So I got to get her on that.
That's funny. All right, let's move into best practice. And this is one, actually, I've been talking about a lot as well. It says, set a podcast mission. I've used the word set a podcast goal, but set a podcast mission similar to a company mission. What do you want your listeners to get out of this podcast? and what action steps will you take to make those goals happen? So I think this is important in a bigger sense, in that everyone has a reason for doing their show. And sometimes the goal might be authority. It might be engagement. It might be lead generation. It might be just to hang out with a friend. There's literally a plethora of reasons people do podcasting. Sometimes it's almost therapy. So what is your goal? And then the goal of the show, then you have to meet that goal to deliver that to your audience. So I agree with this completely.
Yeah, with this show, you know, our main goal is to inform, you know, the podcast community at large, but mostly our customers, what's going on in podcasting and what's going on here at the company, and give you some tips to help you grow your show or
right.
do whatever, you know. So we do have a mission here on this one. You know, your Geek News Central is to inform people about what's going on in tech world.
Yep.
You know,
yep. And I call it breaking down tech news for the common man. Yep.
It just makes sense. You know, you don't just flip on the mic and say, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to talk about today, but right, here I am." Right. And, you know, yep. But that, there's room for that as well. With, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of hobbyists out there that want to play with the gear.
Yep. So, that's true.
You know,
so set that goal. Know what your goal is. If the goal is monetization, then fine. It's monetization. And speaking of which, many of you got the announcement earlier last week about our programmatic advertising that's coming to the Blueberry Podcasting platform. And we're expected to start doing the first initial rollouts around the first week of July. So we're excited about that. If you haven't already put your name on the list, we've got a form that you can fill out to make sure you're one of the first to get into that. So that's what's happened at Blueberry. It's a big thing is coming. We've got another big thing coming that we've been working on as well. That's going to be very, very exciting for any hosting or stats customer. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is, if you're not running an audience survey yet.
Yes, get on it.
Get on it. Get on it, and get that start running with your audience, because what we're about to give you ties into that. So I'll just leave it at that. I'll let your minds wander a little bit. We'll probably be making some pre-announcements soon, but run that audience survey. Yeah. It's super, super critical.
Yeah, I had a customer yesterday. She was asking me about the audience survey and whether her results were good. Well, she sent it out to, I think she said, 100,000 people on her mailing list. Got like 500 responses,
awesome.
Which I've never seen anybody get 500 responses
awesome.
On that. So
awesome.
She's going to have some cool data to play
yeah,
with here.
Yeah, that's bueno. That's yes. beautiful. It's fantastic.
Yes.
So get out there and run that survey. Let's talk about a blog post we put up. It's a branding for your podcast, and it's actually written by Mackenzie.
Yeah, she didn't put her byline on it on the blog, but I made her tell me who wrote it.
Okay, so she wrote that. So definitely yeah. check it out. Branding for your podcast. I think it's pretty important. Great article. Definitely check it out. And we're going to do a little bit of celebrating here next week. Next week is our actual 300th show for this podcast.
Yep.
And Mackenzie will be joining us to celebrate, since she was the one who started what we called before the PowerPress podcast, right. which turned into Podcast Insider, and we have a great interview scheduled. So
I'm looking forward to this interview. I'm recording it tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
Not going to tell you who.
Oh, okay. So anyway, maybe I know who. I have a sneaking suspicion maybe I know who. But I think that we'll have a lot of fun with next week's episode of 3, even us celebrating hitting a milestone here. Mike, in the nick of time here, we started the show without a pro tip, and it just came in. So let's go ahead and run the pro tip that we weren't expecting. Let's fire it away. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Toby Goodman here. I recently came across someone who's being talked about a lot by some people I really respect and who I've worked with in the past. After checking out a few social media posts, I moved over to his website. After that, I contacted him and he qualified me as somebody that would be a good fit for his software, and we booked in a call to speak. I showed up at my computer and opened the Zoom link. While the tone of his messages online was perfect, I was really keen to get a measure of him with a view to making a considerable investment. He joined our call a few minutes late and appeared flustered. Then he said, "Do you mind if we don't do this on video? I've just got in from the gym." "Sure," I said. What else was I going to say? I didn't want to appear unreasonable. Over the course of the next 20 minutes, he took me through all the questions that led him, unsurprisingly, to make a recommendation. Would I like to choose package A for X investment or B for Y investment? Every word he said was perfect, but the problem was he didn't do me the courtesy of even briefly waving to me on camera. But the worst thing was, it sounded like he was in a large kitchen or bathroom with dogs barking, was doing other things, and the story I was telling myself about his timer that bleeped every 5 minutes was that he was on the clock to close a deal. Who can say if that was true? With the camera off, I couldn't tell exactly what he was up to, but it wasn't a comfortable experience. After some hesitance from me, he perfectly positioned a follow-up call, and I agreed to connect with him the following week. But the whole experience made me feel like a cog in his wheel, not a person whose needs were being heard. When it comes to your podcast, you could have the best microphone in the world. You could be the number one expert in your field. But if when you're speaking, you are not in an environment where you can give your guests and your listeners your full attention, they will sense it, even if they can't articulate it. Remember, without the visual, our hearing sensitivity is heightened. This is powerful for us podcasters, but not always in a good way. All of this serves to remind me about the respect we need to give our guests and our listeners. These are people who give us their time and attention, and there's nothing more valuable than that. As podcasters, we have a duty of care to them to produce the best audio possible without any unnecessary sound that translates into unwanted noise, noise that distracts from the conversation and content. Why? Because without all this, your podcast simply won't connect the way you want it to. So stay focused and please record in a distraction-free environment. If you'd like some support creating your podcast and more ways to help make your listeners comfortable, you might be ready for professional podcast production. You can find me and the team over at blueberrypro.com.
So this is going to take us right down to question of the week. And I'll read the question. I'll let Mike do the geeky techie stuff. Question of the week is, why are all the apps and directories so strict on podcast artwork? What are the rules?
Okay, well, what it was when podcasting first started, there was a spec for album art. I didn't write all this down in here, but basically they wanted it to be a constant aspect ratio. So it's the same shape no matter what size. And square seemed to be the easiest one to do, so that's what got adopted. But as far as rules, there's no rules as far as the content. I mean, there's a lot of common sense rules. You know, make it so that you can see it when it's 1 inch by 1 inch, if you put any text in it and all that. But technical rules. Okay, here's the geeky part. Image must be a PNG or JPEG in RGB format. That's a lot of letters there. RGB is red, green, blue format. That's just anything that'll work on the web. That's RGB. Pretty much. Must be PNG or JPEG. And with that, you know, you got to look at the type of image you're doing. If it's a image that only has a few colors in it and it's like a, you know, just a graphic and not an actual photograph, then PNG is probably your best bet. But experiment with that. And JPEG for actual pictures. Let's see. Apple specs are, you know, has to be at least 1400 pixels and up to 3000 pixels, but square. And I mean, one pixel off will throw everybody off.
1400 so, by 1400, 1900 by 1900, yeah. 3000 by 3000 pixels.
Yep. And that's, you know, that's the spec it has to be. And you know, the directory, all the other directories and apps will take an image in that size range because, you know, that's been the standard forever. So, you know, that's good. But the other size thing that people always forget is the file size, the size of the file it takes up on the hard drive. Okay, it should be less than 500K. I've seen it work up to a megabyte or whatever, but it's got to be rather small because this is delivered via RSS to everybody, and you know there's no sense having a huge one. I do all of mine at 1400. Just it's good enough. People are looking at your screen, you know, or looking at their phones and see your image at like an inch by an inch or something like that. And there's just no need to have it blown up the size of a billboard.
The only time you need to be bigger than 1400 by 1400 is if you're going to get featured at Apple, it has to be 3000 by 3000.
Yeah, true. And, so, and there's no harm in doing 3000 either.
But try to keep it under that 500K size.
Yeah, that's a little trickier at 3000. Yep. I don't figure I'll ever be featured at Apple, so 1400 is good enough for me.
Right. And again, most people are seeing on your phone, so remember, it's an inch by inch, and this is what it appears, at least on most devices. So keep that in mind.
You know, and if you're doing a video podcast, I always say go to the 3000 only because people are more apt to watch that on a big screen TV. So,
yeah.
You know, it'll obviously be bigger.
Yeah. So if you have a question you'd like us to answer on the show, drop an email to mike@blueberry.com. That's blueberry without the E's. Audio, text, or video, we may use it. You can also post a question on the Blueberry Podcast Facebook group. And, of course, the best place for support with any Blueberry product, service, or ticket system at blueberry.com/support. Tickets give the entire team access rather than direct emails or calls. Of course, we've been coming to you this week from the New Media Studio in Coldwater, Michigan, and Mike Dell's World Studio in Traverse City, Michigan. And this show is produced by the Blueberry Pro production team at blueberrypro.com. Get your Blueberry Pro services. Mm-hmm. Take the hassle out of editing and production and hand it over to our Blueberry Pro production team. We do have a listener survey as well, surveys.blueberry.com/podcastinsider. The link will be in the show notes at podcastinsider.com. As a reminder, you can always schedule a one-on-one with myself, hosting customers only. Email todd@blueberry.com. Schedule a tech checkup with Mike, again, hosting customers only. Email mike@blueberry.com. And if you have a sticker or you want a sticker, send us your podcast sticker in a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll send you a Blueberry care package. Our mailing address will be on the show notes at podcastinsider.com. Mackenzie packages up and gets it out to you. We've had a few of those go out here recently. So make sure you send us the, if you have a sticker, great. If you don't, that's fine too. We'll send you that little care package of swag. Mike, anything else?
Yep. Everybody have a good week. And like I said, episode 300 next week. So if you got anything you want us to play on the show, go ahead and send that to me too. So
that's cool.
Be fun. That might be fun.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time here on the Podcast Insider. Everyone take care. Podcastinsider.com. Follow or subscribe. See you later. Bye-bye.